This episode of Behind the Video is brought to you by the Independent Media Network. The Independent Media Network helps journalists and content creators create their own jobs by building sustainable online businesses. If you're an unemployed or underemployed journalist or content creator, visit imnct.com for more information. Hey everybody, it's Lon Seibin. We are back for episode number 88 of Behind the Video. And joining me today, as always, is my co-host Tim Street from Los Angeles, California, the home of the rain. Tim, how are you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit wet. I've actually been wearing water boots all weekend, so I can, you know.
You can splash in the puddles?
I can splash in the puddles. And let me tell you, that's a fun thing to do even as a grown-up. So I highly recommend it. And we have a guest today. You can hear her chuckling. It's
yes,
Sandra Bain.
Hi, everybody. Hi, it's nice to see everyone.
So, Sandra, you're a glutton for punishment. More than 90 episodes of web series that you've produced. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, in fact, I'm coming up on 100, I think.
Wow. So you're keeping track. So what is it that you do beyond producing 90 of these web episodes? You have a company, right? And what's the whole story?
I have a boutique production company, and we've been concentrating on digital production, making stuff online, and it's just been a lot of fun learning the digital space and being sort of deeply immersed in that. We also do a little bit of corporate video stuff and been growing our production company, building our toy chest with lots of fun gear and cameras and stuff.
And today Sandra is launching Web Series Producers in Cars with Wi-Fi.
She's in her car. The audio sounds great. It's a very isolated audio environment there. So as innovative as we can be, we're still at the behest of internet service providers, none of which we name on the show because they always disconnect us when we talk about them. So we will just we'll just keep them quiet there. So now you're joining us today because both you and Tim are going to South by Southwest. So while I am stuck in the snow here, you will be doing that. So tell us about what we should be expecting at South by Southwest and why you're excited about it. Because that's in your hometown of Houston, right?
I'm actually an LA-based person, yeah.
Why did I think you were in Houston?
I don't know. And South by Southwest
mission
is actually
control,
in Austin.
Mission control. I don't know.
Oh, you know why? Because you won an award in Houston. That's why I was seeing this on your bio. That's what it was. So I take it all back. You're from LA.
And South by is in Austin, Lon. So
oh, never mind. I'm just gonna.
You're batting 1,000
yeah,
today.
I need to go back to bed. So
that's okay. South by Southwest is famously in Austin, and it's quite the scene. I went there last year for the very first time, and I will say it was overwhelming, which I think is the most common adjective describing South by Southwest. There's just an overwhelming amount of content there. However, we did manage to put a web series meetup on the books in an official capacity and had a good turnout last year. So there was probably 40 to 50 people who attended, and we were able to connect with all those people and help them get the word out for their web series. And then this year, Tim is joining me to co-host so that we can do an even more amazing job of helping people promote their web series.
Yeah, we're expecting 10 to 15 people this time.
Tim is an amazing ability to
We'll focus hard on those 10 to 15 people.
We will.
And what kind of business opportunities are there at South by Southwest? Because it seems like it's become so big that you've got, you know, with this niche of people that go to this event, there is niches in niches. So how do you find who you're looking for? What's the trick?
I think Tim should answer that one because he's actually the master of South by Southwest, like the guru. So, Tim, you tell us, how do you do business at South By?
Well, I think the best thing to do is to start ahead of time. And, you know, just like you're going to a restaurant, you know, what are you in the mood for? You pizza, chicken, barbecue. Speaking of barbecue, I will be having a cleanse at South by Southwest. I will be doing a barbecue cleanse. I've been eating vegetarian for a long time. No
just
meat,
getting
no
ready.
Dairy.
Gearing up
and
for those ribs.
I am ready for my once a year feast. But anyways, think about what you want ahead of time, and then make a short list of who those people are. Once you've got your badge for South by Southwest, you can log into South by Southwest Social, And there you can search those topics. So if you want to search web series, YouTube, VFX, whatever you're into, look at that. You'll see who's signed up, who's going there. If you don't already know them, ping them. You're allowed to contact people and go, hey, would you like to have a meeting? You know? The bottom line, though, I think a lot of people when they're starting out is they don't really know what they want. They're like, well, I'll just make videos, I'll stick them online, and good things will happen. You really need to spend time defining what those good things are. And I think Sandy's really good at getting out there and meeting folks and knowing these web series people. You've interviewed how many different web series producers, Sandra?
Well, I think for our first one of our first web series called The Web Files, we did 51 episodes over the course of a year. So that did give us a deep immersion into the community. We were able to interview all the people involved in those 51 episodes. And then a lot of the people, even though once we retired our show, there was a lot of people that did continue to want to be on the show. So I've been able to continue to connect with people because of that show.
That's it. So, what kind of things are you know, if you've talked to so many, and this is, you know, probably within the context of South by Southwest, but also just in general, what are some of the common problems that web series producers are experiencing from the many that you've talked to? Is there some, you know, what, I'm sure some of the obvious ones are out there, but anything that you think is really something everyone needs to think about and plan for that they're not thinking about perhaps when they try to launch one?
Definitely. I think that, as Tim knows, the constant refrain in our community is how to monetize. How do you monetize? It's just impossible to really tell people how to do that in a nutshell. It's a very complex problem, and there's a lot of strategy behind doing that well. And then promoting yourself well is a really important side thing because I kind of think when you're making a web series, 20% of your time is going to be spent making the web series and 80% of your time is going to be marketing your web series.
Right.
And if you're off on those levels, you're not going to be able to get the word out very well. It's so much of your time has to be devoted to marketing. And marketing well is a different even than just marketing in general. There's definite strategies that you should put into play. You need to be on all sorts of social media and constantly kind of being out there with your message, but not in an annoying fashion. And where's the line? So that's kind of the two main things I think are important.
And I guess it really varies based on, I guess, a whole host of reasons. Maybe the audience you're trying to attract and all the other things that go into it. So it's quite a difficult business, to say the least, but it's something that I think if you're successful, there's a lot of good things that come with that success, for sure, including you know, doing podcasts from your car. As a, it's amazing how well this works. You know, there is some precedent for, you know, people doing shows in cars. So, you know, this could be a new thing for us. So,
you got to hop on the bandwagon sometime.
That's right.
Yeah, following in Jerry Seinfeld's lead.
Exactly. That's where it works. So, Tim, what are you looking forward to most at South by Southwest? What should people in the space be signing up for when they get out there to Austin, not Houston?
Is that for me or Sandy?
Yeah, that's for you, Tim. Then we can have Sandy take up the...
You know, for me, it's really about the social connections. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the web series meetup because I really enjoy our community. I love to hear what people are doing, how they're producing shows, what new techniques they're using for marketing their show, innovative ways that they're approaching a production. I love that birds of a feather kind of feel, and you really get that at Austin, at South by Southwest. And so the web series meetup will be great because it'll be ground zero for web series creators to come together and share information about their shows. I think, you know, the other thing that is great is that there's cross-pollination. So it's great to meet web series people, but it's also cool. You know, I can remember years back I was walking into an afternoon party and I got there a little bit early in a bar, and I walk in and this guy's like putting these boxes, like this box together out of plywood, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, what? You know, it's got all these wires, all these gizmos, and I'm like, what is this? He's like, oh, it's a printer. I'm like, a printer? He says, yeah, it's a 3D printer. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, hi, my name's Bree. And you know, he's building one of the early prototypes for a 3D printer. So you see that kind of stuff at South by Southwest. It's the place where things happen first.
And that is it. That's where Twitter launched there, right? Wasn't that where Twitter launched and Foursquare and all the other stuff? So it's really, really neat stuff. Sandy, anything in particular that you're going to be looking for while you're out there?
I think that I am excited about, like, last time when I was there, I did attend some of the keynotes, and they were really fantastic. And you have the opportunity to learn from some really great minds that are in this interactive space. So I probably attend quite a few of the keynotes, as many as I can. And then the parties are pretty fun. So
I've heard good things about those parties. So we'll have to see where that goes. And I'm sure, Tim, there's...
As our friends from Marketing Over Coffee, John Wall and Christopher S. Penn say, South by Southwest is the single best opportunity to ruin your personal brand. Because if you do anything wrong there, it's going to make it to the internet.
Yeah, in a heartbeat, because everybody is broadcasting constantly. So there's tremendous risk and great reward await you in Austin this year, including a lot of ribs. So I'm sure we'll see Tim tweeting a few pictures with that barbecue bib on and a big slab of something going on there. So, but a big slab of stuff on YouTube, Tim. If we can transition to our top five of the week. We have our usual top five. Some folks new, some folks moving around a little bit.
And this is top five sans Vivo. You've taken out Vivo because music video, people are just like listening to music.
Right, they're listening to that Katy Perry song like over and over again. So you know what, we're gonna skip those, but focus on some of the independent creators. And I think we might want to take number five off the list soon too. I just been fascinated with it. This is Muyap, which is the Turkish music channel. So. They consistently get in the top 10. Right now they have 30 million views coming in at number 5 on our top 5 list. So Muyap, the Turkish music channel, still generating views there. Our friend the Disney Collector, Sandy, have you ever heard of the Disney Collector?
No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
So we talk about it every week, but I'll just in a nutshell tell you that all the effort you put into web series can be easily dwarfed by taking out Disney toys and pointing a video camera at them and taking them out of the box. Because
there's quite a few people that you're like, really? That's how you're going to make your content? You're going to be famous because of this like strange niche? Yeah.
It's amazing. 39.6 million views, so I am sure they are in the six-figure or greater territory income-wise from Brazil. So that is number 4. So maybe we can make a web series about people who make Disney toy videos or something.
And it would be huge.
It would be huge. The other thing that's huge is gaming, of course. And number 3 is this guy. He calls himself Stampy Longhead. Yeah. And he does a new Minecraft video every day.
Of course he does.
And he doesn't swear. At least the ones that I've watched haven't had any swearing in them. So maybe that's why he's doing as well as he is, because parents feel okay with their kids watching it. 40.5 million views this last week. So
it's not bad. That's a good week's work, right?
Not bad at all.
Yeah, that's really amazing.
Sandy, how does this make you feel? I mean, you think about the effort. I mean, there's some effort to do these videos. Don't get me wrong. But you think about the slog that you go through producing a web series that you're really proud of, and then like nobody watches it, and then you got these guys. Like, how do you keep on going, right? What's the deal?
Well, I think that each iteration of making a web series is a learning curve to figure out how to do better, to find your audience. And I think, I will say, Tim is a really good resource for deeply thinking about how to do better with that side of things and making sure that you're making content that you're not spending so much money on for such a low return. So you got to think of things that are you can do cheaply and you can do fast, but still do it well, because it's kind of that three-pronged thing. You can have it cheap, you can have it fast, you can have it quickly. A couple of those things need to come into the mix for web series, and a lot of times people with web series do none of those things.
Right.
It's expensive. What is it? It takes forever.
It's cheap, fast, or good.
Yeah.
You get to pick two.
That is
any two.
Right. And so, unfortunately, it's a learning curve for all of us.
It is. It's tough, you know, and you have, you know, people like at number three or number two is Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, the new late night show. I guess the new Carson, if you will, for us old people
now,
here.
You know who taught Jimmy Fallon how to use social media?
Was it you, Tim?
Nope.
Who was it?
Steve Garfield of SteveGarfield.com.
Really?
Yeah, Steve Garfield of Steve Garfield. He gave all the secrets away to Jimmy Fallon.
No kidding.
So there you go.
And
Jimmy is really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these late night guys are.
Steve Garfield he's like the first video blogger. So who better to learn from, right?
We got to get him on the show one day too to talk
to him about
some of his secrets. And so Jimmy Fallon's show, 46.5 million views on YouTube last week for coming in at number two, which actually is he's never made the top five. So I think having that big network thing helps.
See what the Super Bowl will do for you?
Yeah.
You know, you get promoted on the Super Bowl, and then you get into the top five on YouTube. That's how it works, man.
I will say having Jerry Seinfeld on was probably helpful.
Yeah, just a little bit, right?
His description of childhood or parenting was actually quite apropos. It was a good interview. So, you know, interesting is that, you know, all these late night guys are doing this. So you've got Jimmy Kimmel does a real, he's been doing great stuff.
He's really good.
Including the wolf, like walking through the Russian, supposedly the Russian apartment
dormitory
building. Yeah. Which, by the way, I watched that and this is before like word got out that this was a fake. It was an old Siberian husky, because I have an old Siberian husky. She looks and walks the same way, and I'm watching this thing, what a bunch of BS. But ABC ABC News knew this, Tim. Did you hear about this?
No.
So ABC knew about this, that this was a total hoax, and yet they reported it like it was happening.
Ooh, they should be slammed for that.
You know, they got some heat, because the news division was like, you know, letting the thing play out a little bit. But
yeah, that's pretty bad. You know, that's almost as bad as letting your kid grow up to play video games and record them and put them on YouTube.
Right, because that is PewDiePie. PewDiePie at number one, 63 million views this week for PewDiePie's videos.
So here's what I'm thinking. You know, the way that web series creators are complaining right now about PewDiePie, right? They're like, oh my God, this guy just plays video games and gets all these views. I'm sure that people, producers of theater productions, would see the Lumiere brothers, and they're like, they just shot a train pulling into a station, and they've got people lined up around the block to watch this movie of a train pulling. There's no story there. It's just a train pulling into a station, you know, and they were probably really frustrated.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. But you know what? There's something to be said here. I mean, the fact is these guys are getting watched, right?
Right. But my point is nobody goes to a movie theater to watch a train pull into a station anymore.
Right. That's so true.
How long is this going to last? I don't know.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And you know, too, to some degree, a lot of these, if you look at these popular channels, and Sandy, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. This is not about story. This is personality driven, right?
Yep.
And I have to say, I am with Tim on this one. How long is this going to last? Because I have been, it does sort of make one, a lot of the content they're producing is based on their personalities and talking to young people. And it's sort of like Mick Jagger. Like if you're Mick Jagger in his 20s, you don't envision that you're going to be still doing the Rolling Stones on stage in your 60s or whatever he is.
70s.
Right. 70s.
Yeah.
So I wonder, because I know how hard those top YouTubers work. They work so hard. I wonder how long they can sustain that. Like, do they have a 50-year arc in them? Who's their audience when they're in their 70s? So I am concerned about how they can sustain it.
It does depend on the video game industry,
right?
For a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And what kind of investment is there going to be not only in the video game technology and the capturing of these video games, but in the investment in the networks that are supporting this video game capture type stuff? I mean, would you ever expect like a movie studio to invest money in a company that takes video game footage and repurposes it as other content?
In fact, a lot of them are complaining about it.
There was a transition there, Lon.
Oh,
keep trying.
Sometimes he's a little too subtle, but yeah, so
keep trying.
But it has happened, that investment, because Warner Brothers. I need another cup of coffee this morning. I'm like just striking out here. Warner Brothers may invest $10 to $15 million in Machinima.
So they may.
They may, and that's a big distinction, right? Because the big guys have been burned before doing this, right?
Yeah, they had South by Southwest in Houston.
Hey, it's Texas. It's all Connecticut, Texas is it's out there. So, they may do this according to TubeFilter
And the Wall Street Journal.
And the Wall Street Journal. So it's got to be legit. So what are they going to get out of this? What's the advantage for Warner Brothers to do this? It's not video game footage, I would assume, right?
Warner Brothers is heavily invested in the video game industry. You know, they've put out some web series that promote video games as well. So it kind of fits into the game plan of what they're doing. It'll be interesting to see what their long-term commitment is. And it's still, you know, for as long as we've been doing this, it's still early days. And there's a lot of different things going on. I mean, even companies in Europe are trying to get into this space and really connect with the U.S. audience.
Would that be Daily Motion?
That would be Daily Motion.
So that is our next story this week. Daily Motion's $3 million. Exactly. There we go. So they're going to put $3 million into an original, or they're putting a bid in for Mario Batali, who's doing an original web series. And I guess Daily Motion will be kind of, I would imagine having some original programming on the service itself would lend itself to attracting more viewers, Tim. Is that the approach here?
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of smart about it. I was talking to the guys at Daily Motion, Nick Fortunato, who's on the board of directors for the International Academy of Web Television, and Nick was telling me about this series that they're doing with Mario. They've shot it already, and I guess it's out, one episode's out, he interviews popular musicians. So he said it was, talk about a scheduling nightmare, you know, you've got... Yeah. You're trying to get all these personalities to one place at the same time, and
good
you know,
luck.
Yeah, good luck on that. But to me, it sounds interesting because people like musicians and they like to learn more about the people that they love, and so I think that's a great way to go and do things. You know, you want to be able to discover more. A lot of people, you know, will go out of their way when they're a fan of somebody. And they'll search for them using whatever social media tools they can find, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or what's that other one? Tumblr?
Tumblr, yes. Tumblr has hired a director of media to set sights specifically on Hollywood. So they're out there now trying to make this almost like the long-form Twitter that Hollywood can use to further promote itself. Sandy, you know, we've had a lot of people on doing web series that try to do this transmedia concept, and a lot of times Tumblr is a big part of that. So are you doing – what are you suggesting people do when they go out and produce a web series? What platforms do you like to use to promote and tell the story?
Well, if you have the bandwidth, you should use them all. Mm-hmm. The problem to me is just the amount of time that you have in your day. So I actually don't use Tumblr, but I don't use Instagram. But I am big on Twitter. I think it's super important, and I'm big on Facebook. And to me, Twitter is the best tool because you have sort of equal access globally to everybody. If you work it well, you can get a hold of people wherever you want to find an audience. But I probably need to add more social media. I just don't have the bandwidth.
Yeah, it's a matter of time. You know, we talk about even with this show, it's just, you know, it's easy to shoot it. It's easy to do the show. It's hard to promote the show because you've got all these different channels and you don't know where that audience that might fit with what you're doing is living. I mean, the same could even be said for which video platform you put it on, you know, Daily Motion versus YouTube or something like that. It's hard.
For sure.
It's hard.
Well, I think one of the important things is know where your audience is. And if your audience is on Tumblr, then you better figure out how to use Tumblr.
That's a good point.
really, really interesting. Twice now I've seen Bernie Sue our friend Bernie Sue, the creator of Lucy Bennett Diaries, give a presentation on how to monetize social media. And it's a great presentation. If you ever get a chance to see it, if he's speaking someplace, go there and check it out. But with his new series, Emma Approved, what they're doing is in the show notes to the videos, they're having links to different sponsors. And so when they're tweeting stuff out, they'll tweet out a picture of a dress, and they'll have a link to a page where you can click and go buy that dress. And they're making money that way. So it's think about, you know, what does your audience want? What are they going to want to buy? And in terms of everything in your video, if it appeals to your audience and they would want to buy it, then just make those links available and make sure that they're set up with affiliate connections so that you can get paid for that. You know,
it's a great way to make extra bucks, because, you know, what I've been doing, we've talked about this in the past too with my product review channel. Tim, I am almost to 5,000 subscribers now. Can you believe that? Just doing
That's
all
great.
This stuff.
You know, when you get to 10,000, you can apply to go to a YouTube space and use the YouTube studios for free.
That's
so
right.
you better get to 10,000 quick.
Yeah, I need to, so I can take the train and do my...
There you go. So if you're listening to this show, just go over to Lon's site. How can they subscribe to your show, Lon?
Lon.tv. So go over there, hit the subscribe button, and add your name to the list, and increase my numbers. So that will help. I do affiliate links to everything that I review, and it's now half my revenue comes from that. So
it's
been wonderful, and a lot of times... You know, you can link. You're linking in, and even if they don't buy what you review, if they buy anything, you're going to get credit for it.
Are you making enough money to go to the movies?
No, not at all. But some people are. You know, so let's take a look at the top five movies of the weekend. Number five is 3 Days to Kill. That was it was an action movie that opened up about a week ago. Now, the number five movie in America at the moment for the weekend is only bringing in $4.8 million. Which is remarkably low. Hey, welcome back. Looks like the car cuts you off after a few minutes. So we were just talking about the top five movies of the week. You know, there's some web series people that are making more money than the number five movie here. $4.8 million for 3 Days to Kill for the weekend. Number four was Monuments Men. And Sandra, what'd you think? Because I know Dane saw that and he wasn't too crazy about it. What did you think?
It's a fun movie. It's enjoyable. It doesn't really advance the story through conflict. It's fun to watch, but everything happens that you would expect to happen, and the ending that you expect to happens. It's a beautifully shot film. There's some great moments in it, but there's virtually no surprises, and I don't get a sense of you're ever, like, in doubt that these guys are going to do what they set out to do.
Right.
So it's pretty much just follow the dots.
So it is a real predictable film, but
still enjoyable.
It's entertaining. It's entertaining. So
yeah.
It was
yep.
You enjoyed it. So that's all that matters.
I enjoyed it.
Lego Movie number 3, $209 million overall, $21.5 million this weekend. This has been a really fun film. I don't leave my house, but if I did, I would go see that one.
Yeah, you would.
I'm right there with you, Lon.
Yeah. Hey, at least you got into your car today.
I made it to the car.
That's great. Now, do your neighbors, like, wonder why the heck you're in your car? Like, are you in the passenger seat?
I am in the passenger seat, but we were joking around that I should be sitting here looking like I'm driving while I'm talking to y'all.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And actually, you could like, you know, like, flip the guy off that cuts you off and stuff. That'd be kind of fun. Number two, yeah, that's it. Get out the road. You wouldn't flip off this guy, because number two is Son of God. So, you know, if you take a cue from the publishing industry, where the Bible is the best-selling book ever, you know, you just print a Bible and you're going to sell them, right? So this is a movie about Jesus, like his early life, you know, through, you know, all the things that we know about. $25.7 to $26.7 million weekend. So that's number two on the list.
Yeah, major marketing effort behind this, where this one's a Mark Burnett production, and mm-hmm. So he reached out to all the churches. He actually reached out to Houston, believe it or not, to Joel Osteen, the big mega church guy, right, in Houston, And they mobilized the troops and had people praying that the movie would do well. And not only did they have them pray, they had them get their butts in the seats.
In the seats, buy the tickets.
Friday night, buy the tickets, and they knocked the block off the Lego movie. So there you go. I think this year...
That's good to knocking the block off. That's excellent.
There you go. I stole it. there's going to be... This is going to be the year of the Jesus movie and all the biblical. It's going to be a Bible year because this movie's doing well. We're going to see a lot of other biblical-type movies. Noah is coming out with Russell Crowe. We're going to see a lot of religion on the screen, and you know, God knows we need it right now because it's just going to be nonstop.
Wow, well, get ready for that. And I guess it's kind of a predictable revenue path, too, because you know, not a bad idea to go market it at churches, right?
It's just going to be nonstop.
That is our... Tim should get paid to do these segues. This is great. Nonstop is...
apparently not.
Apparently not. Yeah, we're working on the monetization problem. Sandy, can we get money for this show? Can you help us with that?
Can I get paid every time Juan gets the transition?
it'll be a very low budget for that. But Nonstop is number one, $28.5 million to $30 million. You know, another action flick. But you know, where do they? You know, you think at some point they're going to stop coming up with the concept for these movies. So the concept
what
here.
What do you mean concept? Well, it's the same. Concept.
It's the same. Well, it's same like line. Here's the thing. There's like some unique thing of the action movie that happens. So for
what they used a white guy instead of a black guy, like yeah, maybe that 57 well, with Wesley Snipes.
Well, this one's a little different because this one is like the guy's on the plane. You don't know who it is. And he's killing like right. He's killing the passengers one at a time. That's the deal. From at least what I saw from the commercial. So, Wesley Snipes was a little bit more in your face about it. Like he knew who his enemy was. But
a lot of visual effects.
I'm sure you need that because you really can't fly planes around the way they were doing it in the thing there. And because those poor visual effects artists who are out there right now protesting, at least they will be in 3 hours, from 1 to 3 p.m., this is not resolved yet because this was a big deal last year. So tonight's the Oscars, by the way, in case anyone's wondering. And tonight they will be gathering from 1 to 3 p.m. at the intersection of Hollywood Boulevard and Vine Street. So for me, the Connecticut sheltered person,
gonna,
where is that,
they're
Tim?
They're going to walk as close as possible as they can to the Dolby Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. So where the Chinese Theater is at is where the Oscars are held.
Got it.
And that's where the Dolby Theater is. And so this is about, I'd say, a quarter of a mile to a half a mile away is Hollywood and Vine. So you're going to meet there. And basically walking from there to... as you get to the corner of Hollywood and Highland, everything's closed off. You can't get to the Chinese Theater on the day of the Oscars, even the day before the Oscars. If the streets are closed off, you can't get anywhere near. There's police barricades everywhere. And so I think it's great that they're going there. They don't want to disrupt the Oscars, and even if they wanted to, they couldn't because they just can't get anywhere near the Oscars. I mean, basically... the closest that they'll probably get is about a block away.
And they just want to be heard here, it sounds like, really. Is
yeah, I mean,
is,
the
right?
the big issue is, if you're a visual effects artist, there are tax incentives that the studios are using to their advantage, and it's good business, right?
Right.
So they'll go to Canada, either to Vancouver, Toronto, or Montreal, some cases maybe Winnipeg, and they'll use visual effects artists up there. And so the Canadian government will pay them tax dollars to bring their movies to Canada. And so if you're a visual effects artist living in Los Angeles or living in New York, you basically need to move to Canada in order to work. Mm. And so at that point, you're living out of a hotel. You're making peanuts of what you used to. And if you're a visual effects company in Los Angeles, you're competing against companies that are able to, you know, that are bidding $7 million when you're bidding $10 million for the job. And right. So in order for you to even be on a level playing field, you got to lose $3 million. And there's no back end. You don't get any residual. It's a work-for-hire thing. The studio owns it all. And so it's a really messed up system. And I think it needs to be worked out so that people can earn a living wage or better, and somehow participate in the longevity and success of these films, because a lot of these films that do well, they're doing well because of the visual effects work that went into it.
And so much goes into these films now that you can't make a film without some kind of visual effects.
Yeah, it needs to be a win-win situation for everybody, and right now it's definitely not.
Well, that is a shame, but they can go down to the YouTube space in L.A. because they are putting together a – maybe they could talk about their woes there in front of a Hollywood-style set that they have built inside the YouTube creator space. It looks like they're building sets that everyone can use, Tim. Is that the
– Yeah, so kind of the idea what YouTube is really good at is they know that people search for stuff and they search for videos and it's topical. And in order to get found on a topic, you need to have a video created in advance. And so what YouTube is doing is helping content creators create these topical videos in advance of an event, whether that event is Valentine's or whether that event is the Oscars. And so they built like an Oscar set there for some of the YouTube creators to check out. And, they want to encourage those creators to create videos that support the award season. So it's fun time. It's definitely not, not any comic book type business.
No, it isn't, because Disney is spending $200 million to film a Marvel series in New York City for Netflix. So, all right, so now this is interesting. So this is not Netflix producing it. It is Netflix paying Disney to produce it. Is that the right path here?
I think this one's going to be kind of like a House of Cards type deal where, instead of, David Fincher and the producers of House of Cards shopping around a show and then winding up at Netflix, Disney went to Netflix and, said, hey, we've got these different Marvel characters like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. And so why don't we do a series and stick it on Netflix? And, so that's kind of how it's going to play out.
Sounds pretty cool. Sandy, Netflix is changing the world a little bit in that you're seeing, the production is the same as it might be for television, but these are web series in essence. Is there... what are you seeing opportunities for some of these folks? Because now we're getting people now used to the notion of consuming content on the web in some way, shape, or form, consuming story-based content. So it's not PewDiePie, twiddling his thumbs on a video game. It's an actual really good story told out with really good actors in a professional way. Is there excitement that this might, trickle down a little bit into the web series space?
I think it's so exciting. It's great because it definitely... elevates the knowledge in the regular population that there is short-form content that you can consume online. And so if you have a House of Cards out there, it just gives you, as a smaller creator, the opportunity to go, we're a show that's like House of Cards over here. It's just exciting. And people like to binge watch, so it's an interesting model now for putting content out, any size content that you put all of your shows out there so people can watch them in a row the way that they like to do nowadays. So I think it's exciting when you can download what you want when you want, and it's just going to keep happening more and more.
It might be easier to explain what you're doing to people now, for people now, too, right? Like, hey, we're like Netflix, except we're on YouTube, and you can watch us, you can binge watch us there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, Tim, I've been following my social media threads. I finally caught up with House of Cards, thankfully. And, I think it's a good strategy to do this binge thing, mainly because no one is talking about the story. All they're saying is, oh, my God, House of Cards. Like, Like, they're afraid to give away anything, to the point where you're developing buzz just on the topic of the show, and people tend to watch it because of that, right? I think it's
well. The thing is, we don't have the numbers, so we don't really know.
That's true.
It feels like people are watching it. It sounds like people, but we don't have those actual numbers, so I couldn't tell you. And our buddy Dane would definitely argue.
We definitely disagree. Yeah, he's He's going. He had a. He was at the YouTube Maker thing yesterday. He had a tuxedo on. If you go on his Facebook thing,
nice.
He looks pretty sharp. Yeah, and I think that's very true. And except in the case of Netflix, it really doesn't matter if they watch it or not, as long as they keep the subscriber, right?
Yep.
So that's a good deal. So if you can imagine that, Sandy, you could get paid even if nobody watches your show.
I think that sounds like a good model for a lot of us.
It certainly does. So, well, that will bring us to the end of our show. So now, because I'm living in the dark and I was about to go to Houston instead of Austin, Tim, when is South by Southwest taking place?
So the South by Southwest Interactive starts on Friday, the 6th
or
7th.
March 7th.
And it goes through the 12th, Tuesday.
Oh, so it's a 5-day thing. So then you come home for a little bit.
Yeah, that's the interactive. There's also film and there's also music. And I think this year they're dabbling in comedy.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see. Rumor has it that Jimmy Kimmel Live is going to be at South by Southwest.
Wow.
So it should be a fun time.
Wow, that's interesting. So how long does the whole thing go then? It's like two and a half, 3 weeks?
Like 10 days.
Wow. Maybe. Just in time for NAB after that, right?
Just about.
Wow. Well, it is definitely a busy show season, so we will let you all get ready for the Oscars. Are you both doing any Oscar stuff tonight, like Oscar parties or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm going to go pick it.
Good for you, Tim. I'm happy that you're joining them. That's sweet. I am going to be just watching at home and then starting to pack for South by Southwest.
Well, lucky you. So I'm going to be sitting here at home because it's probably going to snow again tonight. We have there's an Oscar party in Hartford, Connecticut tonight. They do every year. It's a fundraiser, and they encourage people to dress up like the like an Oscar nominee.
Fun!
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it was one year, I think one of the Planet of the Apes movies was nominated for something, and somebody came like with this amazing Planet of the Apes costume. Like, it was unbelievable. So there is some culture here in Connecticut occasionally. So it's pretty.
Maybe you should take your guns and go as a Somali and see if you can hijack it, Captain Phillips style.
Yeah, that would be something to try. Although I don't know how that flies, but we'll see what happens. And on that note, as Tim's tip of the week, we will wrap up this episode of Behind the Video. Sandy, where can people find you and the work that you're doing?
You can find me at on Twitter at PurseDogTV or SP Wright, and on Facebook at PurseDogTV. And then my work is on YouTube at the PurseDogTV channel and the Rappin' with the Reaper channel for my Ask Grimm web series.
Ask Grimm, so, that sounds interesting. Tell us about that real quick. What's that about?
That's a talk show hosted by the Grim Reaper.
Oh, wow. So that's deep.
yeah.
Does he kill the guests before they come on or after?
No. The rule is that he's only allowed to interview already dead people, fictional characters, or magical creatures because, if you went on a show and you were alive, you wouldn't make it.
Yeah, that's very true. Wow, that's a cool idea. I'm going to check that one out. I'm going to subscribe to that one. Sounds like a fun little show there. So
thank you.
Very cool. Tim, where can people find you?
At 1 Tim Street.
And you can find Tim in Austin at the barbecue place.
Get all of them.
And
everyone.
Our web series meetup is on Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Stephen F. Austin.
There you go.
Check it out.
Don't
listen to me and go to Houston. And I'm going to stay right here in in Connecticut. And you can find me at Lon Seidman on Twitter, LonSeidman. We record this show every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, except this morning because I had to get my car out of hock before the snow came. But we try to do it live, so you can log in and ask questions of our guests and Tim and I as well. So you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and YouTube, so subscribe to us everywhere. BehindTheVideo.com is the portal to it all, so you can find everything we do there. And this will be the end of our 88th episode, but we'll be back next week, and this show is a wrap. Stories for this episode were compiled by producer Jason Perrier. Follow him on Twitter at JasonPerrier. Behind the Video is a production of Ape Digital Incorporated and the Independent Media Network, LLC. All rights reserved.